listening to Live from Mount Sinai on the TalkWarrior.com radio network. This is Moisha. I'm here to defend God's law, fight evil, and bash Republicans. Broadcasting live. Today is Sunday, October 10th, 2004. The time is 12 o'clock noon, Pacific time. You can call in at 415-738-0689. That's 415-738-0689. Our website is TalkWarrior.com. That's TalkWarrior.com. Okay. Now, before we get started, I just want to make it clear that the mission of this show is not only to defeat Republicanism, but also to expose sexual perversion. We're fighting evil across the spectrum. We don't give a shit. If it's evil, we fight it. Okay? Now, half the battle of defeating sexual perversion is educating the public. I want to read a quote by a disgusting, depraved sexual pervert. Okay, but before, I'm going to read the quote first, okay. Quote, sexual orgies eliminate social tensions and ought to be encouraged, unquote. Now, I'm going to name you three sex perverts, three known sex perverts, and this is going to be multiple choice, and I want you to pick which sex pervert made that statement. Number one, we have Ted Bundy. Okay? Ted Bundy, serial killer, rapist, totally heinous person. Number two is Paul Rubin, okay, also known as Pee Wee Herman. Pee Wee Herman has been convicted of public masturbation, possession of child pornography, okay. This guy is a perv, okay. He's not in Ted Bundy's league, but a sex pervert is a sex pervert. Number three, we have Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia. Let me repeat that. Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia. Now, the question is, which of these three sex perverts made that statement? Okay? I'm going to tell you. I'm going to make it easy. I'm just going to tell you right now which sex pervert made the statement, and the sex pervert is Antonin Scalia, Supreme Court Justice. Yes, and I'm not making this up, folks. Okay, this quote came from an ABCNews.com story, where they're talking about many stories, talking about many quotes. Okay, that Scalia had made public quotes about sexual orgies. This quote that I just mentioned to you was made to Harvard University. It was made at a speech at Harvard University. Obviously, this Supreme Court Justice Scalia has some kind of a fetish, a fascination with orgies. Clearly, he's a sexual pervert, a deviant, and I find it appalling and disgusting. Now, I just also want you to know that Scalia is one of George Bush's two favorite Supreme Court justices. The other one is another, well, let's say he has been accused of being a sex pervert. His name is Clarence Thomas, also known as Long Dong Thomas. Okay, that's a reference to one of a porno actors that he apparently respects and admires. Okay, we only have the testimony of one person. We don't have actual proof. We don't have like we have clear proof that Scalia is a sex pervert. Okay. We don't have the proof on Thomas, although, well, you know, if you watch the Thomas hearings, you know, I think that, you know, anyone watching it that's sane would say that Thomas is if not a sex pervert, a fucking creep. Okay? Now, this is our Supreme Court. This is our executive branch. Okay? Four branches of government. All right? This is one of them. This is the type of people on that branch. Okay. Boy, I hope I got that the branches of government right. Let me see. We got the executive, one, legislative, two, judicial, three, fuck. Okay. I might have fucked up with a number of branches of government. I'm missing one somewhere. Legislative, executive two, judicial. Where's the other one? I don't know. I can only count three. Fuck it. All right. I didn't do my homework. I fucked up. Okay. Fuck it. We're moving on. maybe someone could like call me. Okay. This is a live show and clarify how many branches of government there are. The number is 415-738-0689. It's a live show. You can call. Now, you could also get the number at the on the website. Excuse me. The website is I'm dying. TalkWarrior.com. Now, just gotta die before I just drank some water and went down the wrong way. All right, I'm gonna go on to the next topic. Those of you that have been listening to the show know that I've been persistently and relentlessly bashing Bush for being a sissy cheerleader and having a sexual identity crisis. And a lot of you are probably just sick of it, and I was really thinking about, you know, just stopping and using some other, you know, method to bash the motherfucker. But something new came up in this topic, and well, I kept saying when I was alluding to that I kept alluding to this photo of George Bush, you know, being a cheerleader, and it was at Andover Academy. It was at the website, and there was a photo of him cheerleading. And I recently went to the website to verify it was still there, and it mysteriously vanished. And, you know, it might be a coincidence, but I think that someone listening to this show told Andover Academy what I was up to, and removed the photo. However, what I did was I had saved the photo, okay, in case this ever happened. I wanted to make sure that I had it, okay. So if you want to look at George Bush being a sissy cheerleader, if you want to look at the depths of his sexual identity crisis, you can go to talkwarrior.com, okay, scroll down the page. You have to scroll down a little, but you will see him. You will see the little sissy. You know, anyone could be a cheerleader. They could sit on the sidelines and cheer on American soldiers as they bomb civilians, kill civilians, murder children, and also they get killed themselves. Okay, anyone could cheer on a war. All right, any sissy fucker can do that. All right. And that's all this guy is. He's a sissy. Okay? You know, this, it reminds me, I just want to say, before I get onto the story, reminds me of, that, I just want to say that this circumstance, this event whereby Phillips Andover Academy removed the evidence, okay, as probable result of my bashing of George Bush, that this really goes to show you how a peon like me, I'm just a pissant doing a talk radio show for, you know, tens of listeners. I'm nobody. But it really goes to show you how one individual could make an impact. Maybe small, but they can make an impact. it reminds me of, I'll tell you a story. It reminds me of another story where I made an impact, probably a much greater impact. But, no, and I have to backtrack a little. I've been treated for depression for many years. And one of the places I was treated at was McLean Hospital in Belmont, Massachusetts. McLean is a world-famous mental hospital. Anyone who is anyone, or who is anybody, was at McLean. If you're mental and you're famous, or you're like an alcoholic, a lot of alcoholics, they have like an alky treatment center there too called Appleton. I don't know if it's still there, but all the alcoholics in Hollywood, and also a lot of rock stars have been there. I wasn't in Appleton. That's not my problem. It's not alcoholism. It's depression. But, you know, to give you an example of what kind of famous people were there and had talked about McLean in their writing, is I'll give you like two names. Sylvia Plath, famous poet. If you read The Bell Jar, that's a novel. But it's very autobiographical, and a lot of she talks a lot about her experiences in McLean. She doesn't say it's McLean, but anyone who's been there knows from the description that it's McLean. There's also Susanna Kaysen, who wrote a memoir called Girl Interrupted. They made sort of a half-assed movie based on that book. It was what's her name? Winona, I can't pronounce her name. Winona Ryder, I'm probably mispronouncing it. That Jolie woman. But anyways, it was sort of a shit movie, but I'm moving on. I have a tendency to get stuck on threads, and I'm trying to move on. I'm trying to improve myself. I'm trying to better myself. I've been treated for depression for like decades, and they just ran out of antidepressants to give me. None of them worked, so they started giving me stimulants. And at the time, I was seeing this. I was seeing a psychiatrist called Dr. Posner. He's very good, by the way. But Posner had referred me to another psychiatrist that also worked at McLean's called Dr. Call. He's like world famous. And he wasn't my regular doctor, but he was prescribing me methamphetamine. For my depression, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Methamphetamine. It's known on the street as meth. But there was this drugstore right around the corner from McLean called Corbett's, and it had been there for like forever. You know, it was probably there since the Pilgrims set foot in Massachusetts, in Plymouth Rock. They probably said, "Oh, we need a fucking drugstore," and and Corbett's was probably on the Mayflower. But anyways, they really had a good business because they were like, you know, handing out drugs to thousands of loonies. There's literally thousands and thousands of mental patients at McLean. Not like that anymore because of insurance. Everything's all dried up, but they were having like a booming business. So I went to Corbett's to fill the prescription. And, they said to me, we can't do this. We can't do this. I don't remember exactly the excuse that they had. Maybe they said they didn't have any have methamphetamine. I don't remember. But apparently they didn't like the looks of me, and they told me that they couldn't help me. Now, this is not legal. Drugstores can't just arbitrarily tell people, we can't help you. We can't fulfill a doctor's order. Okay? That's not their... They're not in a position to do that. If they don't like the looks of me, they should call the police. Okay? That's what the police are for. Okay? You can't just... let me move on. So, I know the score, okay? But I write Corbett's a letter, just attempting to ascertain why they wouldn't give me the speed. I just wanted to know this. I just wanted to have it in writing, And I sent a carbon copy to my regular doctor, Dr. Posner. the Corbett's owner writes me back this real fuck you letter. And he sends me a copy to Posner. And when I go to see Posner, he's having a real shit fit over the letter that the Corbett's guy gave him, because in the letter, the Corbett's owner insulted Dr. Call. And remember, Dr. Call is like world famous, and you just don't fuck with Dr. Call, alright? And he's a good doctor too. I was a patient of his. I wasn't a patient, but I saw him and he saw me in a consulting capacity. But anyways, Posner was pissed, and he was like saying, "Well, I'm gonna talk to some other doctors or some shit like that," and he was gonna do something about it. And he was like, "This is not gonna stand." He was like, remember when Papa Bush invaded, or before he invaded Iraq. It was like Gulf War One, and he was like talking to Saddam. He was like, "This aggression will not stand." Well, Posner was like that. He was pissed, you know, because you know the Corbett's guy was like, you know, fucking with one of their own, you know. And he was, like, trying to usurp their authority and shit. And, you know, it's the first time I've ever seen Posner emotional, you know. Psychiatrists, like, they play it, like, real stoic, you know. They're, like, the coldest clams there are. But, anyways, the moral of the story is that Corbett's went out of business, I think, probably within a year, okay? But, and, you know, they, again, they'd been there for years, and they had a steady stream of loonies to push drugs to. And in place of Corbett's, there was a bicycle store, and it's still there now. There was there's no other drug stores around, too. And, you know, I have no way of knowing whether I had anything to do with the demise of Corbett's, especially because Posner left McLean. So I have no way of really verifying it, but I like to think that I was personally responsible for the demise of that drugstore, which had been there forever, and, you know, they were doing something which is not legal. You can't just deny a person medication because you know, you don't like the way they look. Alright? They don't have authority to do that. The only people, that have authority to give, a handout, medication is, and to say who gets medication, who doesn't, are doctors. And that's the way it should be, because they have proper training. They're educated. You know, that's why they have doctors, to give medication. Okay, I am going to go to a commercial break. I have to rest my voice. We'll be back in under 2 minutes. Gotta cue it up, and here we
Moishe,
go.
I'd like to tell you about a stage play I think you should read. It's called Monkey House. It's written by the famous underground poet and revolutionary Ed Guevara. It's an incredible play, but don't take my word for it. You can read the first 7 scenes of it at TalkWarrior.com. That's TalkWarrior.com. Click on the image of the little monkey in the cage in the left-hand corner of the page near the top. If you like the play, you can purchase it online for $10. All we need to do is sell 1 play a week, and I can recover the cost for running the station. Unless capital is diverted towards advertising, I will be 90 before anybody knows about the station, and I will be such a prune juice drinking, diaper-wearing, crusty old guy that nobody will listen to me anyway. We're doing important things on this show. I believe we're revolutionizing talk radio, but I need more power and more influence to be effective. Contrary to what you might have heard, when a tree falls in the forest and there's nobody around to hear it, it does not make a sound. When I bash a greedy Republican bastard and nobody is around to hear it, my bash does not make a sound. When I bash a suck-up placating Democrat for acting like a Republican, he does not hear me as well, for I am a lone tree falling in the wilderness. I need for you to read Monkey House. If you like it, I need for you to buy it, and tell all your friends to buy it. I can't do the show without your support. In addition, I need for you to rate each show. You can do this by clicking the left thumb in the playlist of your Live 365 player. I need your help. I need your support. I need it now. So don't be an asshole and read the goddamn play. That's all I ask.
Okay. Now, before I get started again with another topic, I'd like to remind any listeners out there that this is a live show and that they may call in at 415-738-7111. 415-738-0689. That's 415-738-0689. Okay. I'd like to talk. I know that I talked about Kerry Bush 1, the debate, last week, and I know it's been beat to death, but it's something that, you know, I've looked at it more closely, and I find some things, and I found some things, which I think need need to be looked at. Now, here's some quotes from, I don't have the transcript yet for Kerry Bush 2, so I'm not talking about Kerry Bush 2, I'm talking about the first debate. Here's a quote, by Kerry. "I believe in being strong and resolute and determined, and I will hunt down and kill terrorists wherever they are." Okay? I want to put an emphasis on the second sentence. I'm gonna repeat the second sentence. "I will hunt down and kill the terrorists wherever they are." Now, let's analyze this, okay? Because no one apparently is really looking at this closely and analyzing it. First of all, it's not legal. It's not legal, okay, to hunt down and kill people. You can't just arbitrarily go around the world hunting down and killing people like rats. All right? Now, well, you can make the argument, but they're terrorists. Well, okay. All right, if they're terrorists, what you do is you bring them to justice. You don't hunt down and kill them. What you do is you arrest them, take them into custody, and give them a fair trial. That's how we do things in the modern world. Okay? This isn't, I don't know how they did things, you know, back in the Stone Age. Okay? I don't know how they did things when they, you know, were tar and feathering people and they were, putting people on the rack, but this is the modern world, and it defies international law to just arbitrarily go around killing people. Now, here's another quote from Kerry. "I believe in being strong and resolute and determined, and I will hunt down and kill the terrorists wherever they are." Again, this has come from Kerry Bush Debate 1. Now, in the Edwards-Cheney debate, there was a similar statement by Edwards. "Here are the judgments I would make." Oh, sorry, this is a quote by Edwards. "Here are the judgments I would make. My first priority would be to keep this country safe. I would find terrorists where they are and stop them and kill them before they do harm to us." You know, even George Bush is not talking this way. This is just extremist. It's extremist talk. All right. Now, and you know, when you go in to that voting booth, all right, and you pull the lever, or whatever it is. However you vote in your state or your municipality, I want you to know, I'm not saying to vote for Bush. Okay, I'm definitely not saying to vote for Nader. Okay, I don't want you to do that. In fact, I definitely also don't want you to vote for Bush, too. But I want you to know, you know, what kind of scary shit this is when the Democrats are talking like this. And I'll tell you why it scares me. You have to put this into a historical context, all right? After LBJ beat Barry Goldwater, all right, now he was like a right-wing fanatic, all right? It's like Barry Goldwater is what George Bush is, okay? It's like if Barry Goldwater would have been elected president, he probably would have been something like George Bush, you know, proactively going out there and fucking, you know, people and causing wars and so forth. But after the election, LBJ wanted to show everyone that he was a real man, all right? You know, he didn't want to be looked upon as some kind of wussy Democrat. So, well, then there is the, so he started this, you know, he fabricated a war, you know, fabricated a rationale for a war, just like George Bush, okay? It was the Gulf of Tonkin, I'm probably not pronouncing it correctly, but he there was an incident where he sort of you know, fabricated a fictional premise to go to war. He claimed that the Viet Cong had attacked an American ship. This is, of course, was total bullshit, just like WMD. And what happened was after that is that the United States got into a long, drawn-out war with the Viet Cong and North Vietnam, and, you know, led to 50,000 American dead. I don't know how many civilians were killed. Probably far more. I don't know how many North Vietnamese and Viet Cong were killed. I'm sure there was many, many, many more. But it was just a horror. But it scares me when Democrats start talking tough. Alright? You know, and I just want to point that out to you. That's all. I think Kerry is a scary motherfucker, and I'm not telling you, again, Nader's not the way, okay? Voting for Nader is not going to get anyone anywhere. All right? So, you know, you're not going to, no, it's not a, you know, it's not a protest vote, believe me. Okay? You're just being screwed by Nader. Nader is just a guy with some kind of fucking mental problem. I have trouble really getting behind carrying and endorsing him. In fact, I can't endorse him. All right? I think he's an asshole. But, you know, I'm going to move on now. I'm getting bogged down again, but you know what to do, okay? Do the right thing. Okay. While we're still on the debate thing, I read another story about, and there's some evidence that, in George Bush, Kerry Bush 2, second debate, Bush was wired. In fact, I'm looking at an AP photo, and what I mean wired, there's some type of he's, you know, he has some, it's suspected that he had some kind of an earpiece thing, and he was listening to someone was coaching him in the background, helping him out. And it's thought that the receiver is located, and I could see, I'm looking at this AP photo, and it's like there's a hump, okay? George Bush is talking to Kerry, and I'm looking at his back, and there's a hump. He looks like the fucking humpback of Notre Dame. He looks like Lon Chaney. I mean, it really looks like this, and like the radio receiver, all right, the thing that's transmitting the signal to the headpiece thing, is sticking right out there on his back. And I would think that, I think that this sort of makes logical sense. I mean, George Bush is a moron, and, you know, he really is incapable of handling himself with Kerry. So the Republicans did whatever they could do to his staff to, keep him on a level playing field. But I really think that the candidate should be, they should be searched before the debate. It's probably too late now because they've already agreed to the rules, but I really think that both of them should be strip searched, okay? Because they really they can't allow this coaching nonsense. Okay. I have to pee. And I'm going to play a song. It's just a quickie. And we're going to take a little break. I love this song. It is by John Truby and the Ugly Janitors of America. And it is called Take a Shit on Me. Here we go. Okay. That was Take a Shit on Me by John Truby and the Ugly Janitors of America. I think that is my favorite song by John Truby. Okay, now I want to talk about a really sick story that I read in the news. Again, the story comes from abcnews.com. I was just appalled by this story. I'm gonna read it for parts. I'm gonna read parts to you. All right. This story is dated October 2nd. This is in Baghdad. Families of the 35 children who died in a string of bombings in Baghdad blamed American troops for the tragedy. It goes on to say, Rezin said that before the start of the celebration, there was some type of celebration. U.S. soldiers called upon the children through loudspeakers to join the crowd, promising them sweets. There were an unusually large number of children around because of the long school holidays. We're nearing an end. Okay, let me tell you what happened. The American Army was using children as human shields. Okay, to protect them, and they were soliciting the children with candy. This is pretty heinous. It's a pretty nefarious act. It's evil, and it reminds me of the Nazis. As the Nazis rolled over Eastern Europe, what they would do, they would take a local woman, strap her to a tank, a Nazi tank, and they just keep going. And of course, you know, you can't really, it makes it pretty hard to shoot at the tank when a woman is, strapped to it. But this is the kind of sleazy, heinous, evil shit. It's this is something that the Nazis would do. Only the Nazis would do something like this. And I don't know, I was just appalled by it. I had to bring it up because I just couldn't believe how, you know, fucking sick it was. I was driving by a temple in in Newton, okay, near where I live, and they have a new sign in front of the temple. It's a big temple. It's on Hammond Park, Pond Parkway. I don't remember its name right now. And the new sign, it says, "Stand by democracy, stand with Israel." Well, you know, I don't really understand that statement. It seems to be like an oxymoron. I mean, how could you stand? How is democracy plowing down civilians, Palestinians, that stand up in front of their homes, okay, and they take bulldozers and they plow down the homes, and if there's a civilian, you know, trying to block the path of the bulldozer, they bulldoze that person, they crush them to death. How is that democracy? Now, You know, I'm really, what I'm doing something sort of very, very radical as a Jew, speaking out about this publicly. One thing to speak out about it privately, but there is another thing to speak out about it publicly. As a Jew, I'm supposed to toe the line. I'm supposed to, you know, stand behind Israel, and whatever the fuck Israel does, I'm supposed to say, well, yep, that's Israel. They're Jews, and they got a right to do it because, you know, we're the fucking chosen people. Well, you know, well, fuck that. Okay? You know, I really believe that Judaism, at heart used to be, a moral religion. And the reason why is because, Judaism is really, it's about law. And, you know, my job is to fight evil. And if that evil happens to be, my fellow Jews, then fuck 'em. I'm fighting evil. And I don't give a flying fuck. You know, I'm not supporting terrorism. I never supported terrorism. But I do not support imperialism. Okay? I don't support colonialism. All right? You know, I'm gonna say it now, and I'm gonna keep saying it. The Israelis have to get out of the occupied territory. Alright? And if they don't like it, fuck them. Okay? Someone has to speak out. Okay? And fuck it. Okay? I don't give a shit if my fellow Jews don't like it. They can go fuck themselves. Alright? Jews are better than that. Okay? They're acting like Gentiles. And I just won't accept that. Okay. I didn't mean to get so emotional there, but it just makes me very angry, what goes on in the Middle East. And, I gotta take a stand. Again, this is a live call-in show. The number is 415-738-0689. You could call in. That's fine. You could not call in. That's fine too. All right. You know, there's a series of books called the Dummy Series. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It has like a black cover. It's like black and yellow. Okay? And they make all kinds of dummy books. They have like Visual Basic for Dummies, Cooking for Dummies, Scrapbooking for Dummies. It's just, I'm sure you've seen it. And there's also like a clone. There's like another publisher caught on that idea, and they have like an idiot series. And so I had a concept. How about a moron series? You know, so you have like Visual Basic for Morons, Cooking Basic for Morons, and I was thinking maybe you could have like a retarded series, a retard series. So for example, you'd have, you know, being president, becoming president for retards, and you can have like an introduction by George Bush, you know, and it's like, this whole series would be, the retard series would be like, only for people that have IQs, like under 100. I'm not sure where like, like low and where retarded starts. I mean, where does, you know, it's like, is a person with 90 retarded? I think, you know, if you're slow, it's something on the order of 70 to 85, but you know what I'm talking about. You know, I'm probably gonna wrap this show up pretty soon. I just have some water. I just want to talk about the Jamie Foxx. There's this new movie called Ray, I think, by Jamie Foxx. And it's about Ray Charles. And starring Jamie Foxx as Ray Charles. And, you know, it's like, I looked this up because I couldn't believe that they had this movie already. Ray Charles died on June 11, 2004. That's only 4 months ago. And now they have this movie already. I mean, his body isn't even cold yet. I don't even think that the rigor mortis has set in yet. I mean, it's just unbelievable, the exploitation. I mean, couldn't they just wait to the poor guy's body cool down before they make a movie, you know? I mean, give it a few years, for Christ's sakes. I mean, how could anyone make a movie so fast? I don't know, it kind of disgusts me. I just hate this type of exploitation. When people are dead, I just wish they would, like, leave them alone, you know? You know what, I had it written down that I was going to talk about Georgie, because I'm just sort of, extremely angry. I'm not going to talk about her, but I'm just getting incredibly angry by the left, the liberals, so-called liberals and Democrats, whatever. All these people are marginalizing me. They're ignoring me, and I am just, I can't explain to you how angry I am, because I, you know, there's like, I send people, have lists of, you know, progressive talk shows, and I say, could you please add me to the list? And, you know, no one adds me to the list. I ask people on my show, progressives like Georgie Russell, and Georgie never responded. And I also asked a guy called the Freeway Blogger, and, you know, he stood me up. It's like I just can't win, because there's really, there's like, it's intellectual elitism. Okay, that's all it is. Liberals have their own private little club. They don't approve of my methods. They live in this fantasy land where they think that if they give people the facts, okay, that they're going to listen to what they say. Well, you know, let's do a reality check here. The masses don't give a flying fuck about facts, okay? If they did, George Bush wouldn't be running as closely as he is. He wouldn't be doing so well in the polls as he is. I mean, it should be this election should be a no-brainer for John Kerry, because Bush is just, you know, I can't think of a worse president. He's done horrible, horrible things. He started an unnecessary war, and he's bankrupted the treasury. He's just a heinous, evil motherfucker. He is the most evil man of this century. You know, but the masses don't see that, and you don't win with facts, okay? That's not how you persuade the masses, okay? You persuade them through pushing their buttons, okay? You appeal to their emotions, just like Republicans. But, you know, the liberal, you know, intellectual elite, you know, I'm not part of their little club. I don't speak their language, okay? And so I'm not allowed exposure. I'm marginalized, okay? So, I can't tell you how offensive it is and how angry I am because, you know, I'm a socialist, okay? And I'm a socialist, okay? And as a socialist, I can't be part of their club, okay? You know, you're not going to find a person, there's very few people that are further left than me, okay? And only people further left than me are people really believe in like violent revolution and shit like that. But I'm not like that. But believe me, on the spectrum of left, I'm pretty fucking far to the left. You can't get much further. You know, I'm almost over the edge. So, I don't know. I am just incredibly, incredibly angered by this marginalization. And, you know, I tell you what, I'm going to not talk about Georgie. I'm going to talk about some other things. I'm going to wrap the show up and we can make this a clean hour. But let me just say that I am so fucking angry at, you know, I feel so alienated and angered by the liberal intellectual elite that I'm going to start bashing. I'm going to start coming after the motherfuckers. Not going to hurt anyone. Don't get me wrong. I'm not crazy. But I'm going to start exposing these people, okay? And I'm going to start with Georgie. And I'm going to start with the freeway blogger, the two people that didn't want to be on my show. Let me tell you, I would have been nice to these people, and there's certain things that if they had agreed to be on my show that I would have not talked about out of respect. But I'm not going to lie, but I'm going to be honest, and I'm going to expose these people for what they, you know, truly are. Okay? And if the left wants to continue to ignore me, people like Kerry want to continue to ignore me, is another person that ignores me, then, you know, don't expect my support and expect the bash. And I don't have to make stuff up to bash. Okay? Because you know, Kerry has blood on his hands. And all Kerry had to do was, get someone to talk on my show. Okay? I would have kissed his ass. I would have busted his balls a little to get to the truth, but I would have backed Kerry 100%. Okay? But, you know, if you want to have an attitude, if these people want to have an attitude, then they can't expect my support, and they should expect the bash, because I'm just a peon, and I'm angry as hell. I'm nobody, I'm angry as hell, and I just feel like fucking tearing someone apart. Not literally. Okay, I'm gonna do the credits. Let me have a sip of water. I'd like to thank John Truby for allowing us to play his great songs. For more information about John Truby, please go to our website at talkwarrior.com. I would also like to thank the God of my original father, Abraham, who gives me the energy and courage to fight evil. I dedicate this show to the people around the world who fight fascism, tyranny, imperialism, economic injustice, and racism. This show is a copyrighted broadcast of the TalkWarrior.com radio network, and it may not be rebroadcast or distributed without the express written consent of the TalkWarrior.com radio network. We'll see you again next week at Sunday, 12 o'clock noon, Pacific time. Please see our website, TalkWarrior.com, for updated information about the show. And I will leave you with Triumph of the Damned by John Truby and the Ugly Janitors of America.